In the early 1990s, companies like Sunsoft would show off their wares and take business meetings at the biannual Consumer Electronics Show, which was how Breivik and the Schaefers found themselves in Chicago during the summer of 1994, wandering a show floor full of refrigerators, car stereos, and brand new video games. Before the show, the team at Condor had fine-tuned their pitch for Diablo, the game that Breivik had spent years dreaming about making. It was a role-playing game set in a gothic horror fantasy world, populated by demons and spiders. You'd create a character based on one of three archetypes: fighter, thief, or magician, and start off in a town above a giant maze-like dungeon with levels that would be generated by an algorithm, so they were different every time. Inspired by XCOM, a game that had come out in March and hooked them all, the gameplay would unfold in turns as the player watched from an isometric camera, as if looking down from a chessboard. Diablo captures familiar fantasy elements within a unique structured design for maximum replayability, expandability, and versatility, the team wrote in a design document. Breivik and the Schaefers took their pitch from publisher to publisher, expecting the dollars to pour in. But the video game industry moved in trends, and in 1994, RPG was considered a dirty word, thanks to a string of recent Dungeons & Dragons-inspired flops. The executives behind game publishers were more interested in flashy platformers with big-name licenses than in a geeky fantasy dungeon crawler. "We just cold-dropped in on a whole bunch of publishers," said Eric Schaefer. "Everybody passed on it." Dejected, the group headed to the Sunsoft booth and were shocked at what they found there: a demo station for Justice League Task Force, the game they were making back home, manned by an entirely different set of staff. But while their game was for the Sega Genesis, this one was for the Super Nintendo. Stunned, Breivik and the Schaefers introduced themselves to the man in charge. His name, he said, was Alan Adham. His company, Blizzard Entertainment, was working on Justice League Task Force as one of many contracts they were juggling down in Southern California, where they planned to soon publish their own original games. Once the initial feelings of shock and confusion passed, the two groups found that they had even more in common. They had explored many similar ideas for Justice League Task Force and had stumbled upon some of the same mechanics for characters and stages, despite working 400 miles apart. "It was obvious right away that we had similar philosophies," said Breivik. "The way we made games, believed they should be played."